Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Saturday, March 30th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Our first IL placement is third baseman Royce Lewis, who landed on the 10-day IL with a right quad strain. Lewis suffered the injury while running the bases on opening day. The Twins front office reported that it is a severe strain, so Lewis is due for an extended absence, to say the least. Lewis won't participate in baseball activities for at least a month before being reevaluated to determine a plan for his rehab work. Austin Martin, Minnesota's number 15 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, and one of the headliners of the trade that sent Jose Berríos to Toronto, was recalled from the minors to take Lewis's place on the roster. Martin's prospect stock has fallen dramatically since that trade, so he won't earn an everyday role from the get-go, but Martin should split playing time with Willy Castro at third base and with Alex Kirilloff at DH. Starting pitcher Justin Steele of the Cubs landed on the 15-day IL with a left hamstring strain. He strained it during his opening day start, and the strain has been deemed of the grade 1 severity. Steele won't throw until he is able to walk again and will subsequently need to build his arm back up to take the mound in the big leagues. Steele is likely on track for a late April, early May return, and Ben Brown was recalled from the minors to replace Steele on the 26-man roster. The Cubs' number 10 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, Brown struggled after a midseason promotion to AAA in 2023. However, he proved ready for the majors with a 0.64 ERA across 14 innings during spring training. Brown pitched in relief during his debut, but will likely join the rotation until Steele or Jameson Taillon returns and should make his first career start sometime next week. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Clayton Beter made his major league debut on Friday, but then was optioned to the minors on Saturday. It's likely a case of the Yankees wanting to continue his development as a starter. At the moment, the Yankees only have room in the bullpen. Tanner Tolle was recalled from the minors to act as a multi-inning reliever. For our new starting pitcher, Kevin Gausman will make his season debut on Sunday versus the Rays. He's an auto start in my book, and fantasy managers who got a slight discount after his delayed start will be feeling like geniuses when his splitter starts inducing whiffs. Third baseman DJ LeMahieu has a non-displaced bone fracture in his right foot. The former Rocky will be re-imaged in 2 weeks, at which point we'll have a better idea of his timeline. I wouldn't expect to see LeMahieu back on the field until May, so in the meantime, Oswaldo Cabrera will see everyday at-bats at the hot corner. And lastly, starting pitcher Anthony DeSclafani of the Twins has been ruled out for the rest of the season following flexor tendon surgery. This will guarantee Louis Varland and Chris Paddock spots in the rotation, and it could open the door for one of the many Twins top pitching prospects to sneak their way onto the roster at some point. Now we'll take a look at the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Jared Walsh, who helped the Rangers take down the Cubs. He went 3-for-5, scoring 3 times with a home run and 2 runs batted in. His home run traveled 414 feet with a 106.9 mph exit velocity. Walsh started his tenure in Texas with a bang on Saturday. Not only did he hit a ball over the fence, but he chipped in 2 singles as well. The left-handed hitter lucked into the strong side of a platoon at first base when Nate Lowe fell to the IL to start the year. This current role is only temporary though, but if he keeps hitting like this, they'll have to keep him on the team when Lowe returns. It's been a couple of years since Walsh has performed at an above average level at the plate, but he's proven capable of being an all-star caliber bat like he was back in 2021 when he crushed 29 home runs with a 126 WRC+. Walsh is worth the stream against righties in deeper daily leagues during the month of April because of his place in an elite lineup and his career 115 WRC+ versus righties. Mark Canha helped the Tigers to a win on the south side of Chicago, going 3-for-5 with 3 runs, a home run, a double, 3 RBIs, and a stolen base to record the combo meal. His home run traveled 378 feet and had an exit velocity of 106.5 mph. Canna has been one of the most consistent and underrated offensive threats over the past few years. Since the beginning of 2018, Canna has not produced a WRC plus below 110 in any season. He doesn't really excel in any particular category, but his potential to hit 12 homers while matching that pace in steals is pretty solid in 15-team leagues, and it's game-changing in league-only formats. Canna is also a target in points leagues because of his above-average plate discipline metrics and his ability to take the field every single day. The lineup around him in Detroit isn't spectacular, but it does have potential. And as the fifth hitter, Canna should have no problem eclipsing 120 runs plus RBI in 2024. And lastly, we have Anthony Santander, who helped the Orioles to a win versus the Angels, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a home run, a double, and 3 runs batted in. His home run traveled just 359 feet with a 98-mile-per-hour exit velocity. And the RBI machine strikes again. Santander was one of my favorite targets in fantasy drafts this offseason. He felt like one of the safest bats in the outfield, and he was going at a pretty reasonable ADP. Santander's spot in the middle of a burgeoning yet electric lineup would provide him ample opportunity to achieve or even surpass the 95 runs he knocked in last year. He's off to an excellent start with home runs in each of the Orioles' first two games. Santander is a 250 hitter with 30 home runs and 100 RBI, benchmarks that should make fantasy managers proud. I won't take a victory lap just yet, but I'm excited for Santander to do this all year long. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Saturday, make sure to check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the rotation and check out the notable starting pitching performances. Opening with Cutter Crawford in Seattle, he took the no decision as he tossed 6 innings, allowing just 3 hits and 1 run. It was unearned. He walked 1 while striking out 7. Crawford induced 10 whiffs with a 26% CSW across 84 pitches, and Crawford lived up to all of my breakout expectations with an exceptional 2024 debut. His sweeper was nasty with 5 whiffs, while his 4-seamer and cutter combined to match that total. I'm hoping for Crawford to build off last season's volume while filling up the stat sheet with more strikeouts to escape the Toby territory he's dangerously close to fitting into. His mid-3s ERA estimators give me hope that he doesn't have to make drastic changes to take his game to another level, but the arsenal analysis done here at Pitcher List has sold me on his ceiling. Crawford is a must start in his next outing in Anaheim. Jordan Hicks earned the win in San Diego as he tossed 5 scoreless innings, allowing just 3 hits and a walk while striking out 7. The right-hander induced 7 whiffs with a 31% CSW across 84 pitches, and Hicks was exceptional in his return to the mound as a starter. He filled up the zone with his sinker, which, despite sitting 3 ticks lower as a starter, was still effective. But Hicks didn't have his best sweeper after showcasing it as his best pitch during spring training, but it didn't really matter because his splitter came through with 4 whiffs on just 5 swings. Hicks is a very interesting play in fantasy this year because he's hoping to translate top-of-the-line stuff from the bullpen to the rotation. He's got the help of one of the best pitching development staffs in the majors in San Francisco, and I'm hoping their tutelage will aid Hicks in finally achieving success as a starter. Hicks is set for a rematch against the Padres in San Francisco next Friday. And lastly, we have Jared Jones as he earned the win in Miami, tossing 5 2/3, allowing 3 hits and 3 earned runs while walking 2, but he struck out 10 batters with 22 whiffs and a 40% CSW across 89 pitches. That earned Jones the golden goal in his major league debut as he led baseball in whiffs and CSW on the day. His heater was sharp, sitting 97 with 11 whiffs and 39% CSW. However, it was his slider that stole the show. Jones threw the pitch more than his fastball, and it went for 10 whiffs and 48% CSW. That two-pitch mix is unstoppable, and to show such dominance in his debut makes him the most exciting early season waiver wire pickup. There may be a point where Jones has to incorporate a third pitch when the league inevitably adjusts to him. He showcased a changeup and curveball on Saturday, but we've seen pitchers survive with 2 elite pitches in the past. Jones will have to prove himself in a tough matchup against the Orioles in his next start. All aboard the Jones train. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Saturday, go give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. We'll start it off with the saves guys. Abner Uribe earned save number 2, but I wouldn't say he's the closer just yet. Trevor Megill once again pitched in the 7th inning as he faced the 9-4 hitters, and it seems like Megill is the high leverage reliever, so he may split save chances with Uribe in the future with Yoel Piamps mixing in. Kyle Finnegan lucked into a save opportunity after Alexis Diaz failed to close it out in the top half of the ninth. He successfully earned save number one on the year. Clay Holmes threw a perfect inning to earn his second save as he's now tied for the major league lead. And Giovanni Gallegos vaulted a save in the 10th inning after Ryan Helsley blew his first save opportunity in the ninth. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Camilo Doval took the mound after Eric Miller failed to close out an 8-run lead in the ninth. Doval allowed 2 runs as he successfully recorded the final 2 outs of the game. Mason Miller pitched the final inning with his team down by 2. Miller allowed 2 runners to cross home before closing out the inning. Edwin Diaz made his return to the mound with his team down by 2 in the ninth. It was a low-pressure situation that allowed Diaz to ease his way into the season. The White Sox bullpen showed their cards. Jordan Leisure pitched the 6th, while Dominic Leone and Tim Hill split the 7th. Steven Wilson pitched the 8th, while John Brebbia pitched the 9th. It's simple enough to just consider that to be the pecking order for now, though I expect to see Michael Kopech mix in with that group. Alex Lang pitched the 7th and could not find the zone, walking 3 batters and requiring help to escape the inning. Shelby Miller pitched the 9th and 10th to earn the win. Look for Jason Foley to claim the closer role for himself if Lang struggles to find his control. Raisel Iglesias made his season debut and finished out the win with an 8-run lead. This was likely just to keep Iglesias game ready, as the Braves haven't had a save opportunity yet this year. Alexis Diaz blew his first save opportunity of the season by allowing 3 runs in the top of the 9th. Diaz will have a reasonably long leash in the closer role, but the Reds won't live with these performances forever. Pete Fairbanks had to settle for a game finished as his offense tacked on an insurance run to take away the save opportunity right before he took the mound. Fairbanks threw a perfect frame with 2 punch-outs. The Royals bullpen showed their cards, and they received no clarity in their closer duel. James MacArthur blew a 1-run lead in the 8th before Will Smith imploded in the 9th, allowing 4 runs and taking the loss. We'll have to wait to see if either of these arms are prepared to take on the 9th inning role. Griffin Jacks wound up with the win after he pitched the 8th when the score was still tied, and Brock Stewart pitched the 9th and struck out the side. David Bednar proved healthy as he threw up a perfect frame in the 9th with his team up by 6. Josh Hader pitched the 9th with his team down by 2. Justin Lawrence pitched the 9th with his team up by 5. And Evan Phillips closed out the 10th with his team losing by 1. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single bullpen from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Sunday, March 31st, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. Our matchup of the day is Jack Flaherty versus Eric Fetty. Both of them are making their team debuts, and I'm pumped to see what Fetty looks like after his foray overseas. And I want to see if Flaherty can maintain increased velocity throughout his start. In terms of probable starters, we've got 3 guys in the auto start tier: Bailey Ober in Kansas City, Michael King versus the Mariners, and Chris Sale in Philadelphia. Make sure to get those guys in your lineups. Our probably start tier has 9 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Garrett Whitlock in Seattle. He has a 4-pitch mix that allows him to take down both lefties and righties, and he'll be in the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in MLB. I'd also keep an eye out for Gavin Stone versus the Cardinals. He excelled in spring training and faces a gritty but unintimidating Cardinals lineup, and he'll have great run support behind him. As for hitter suggestions, I'd target Padres hitters versus Dalton Jeffries of the Giants. Jeffries will be making his team debut, and despite a solid spring, he hasn't pitched in the major since 2022. Maybe the Padres hitters will be able to take advantage of that. And I will close things out with our relievers to watch. Clay Holmes has pitched in 2 of the past 3 days, but so has Ian Hamilton. So Jonathan Loaisiga may get a shot at the final couple innings to preserve their arms. Mason Miller threw 30 pitches on Saturday, so I'd look for Lucas Erceg or Danny Jimenez to get the 9th in a close game today. Abner Uribe has pitched on back-to-back days, but so has Trevor Megill, so Yoel Piamp should be the team's closer today. And lastly, Evan Phillips has appeared in 2 consecutive games, so Joe Kelly, Ryan Brazier, and Alex Vesia are candidates to get a save. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.